Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Thank you, Brother Dearman. This is Reading the Word. I am Justin Reed. I am so glad that you have joined us. We're continuing our examination of Psalm 119, a beautiful passage of Scripture that I think warrants a lot of time, attention, and study. As we're looking at it, we're taking it in 8-verse sections, because that's how it's broken up. Each 8 verses correspond to a certain letter of the Hebrew alphabet. What I find really unique and interesting is each of those 8 verses begin with that letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So ready for the 6th section, which is the vowel section, or corresponds to our letter V, and it's found in Psalm 119, verses 41 through 46. Psalm 119, 41 through 46. If you would, grab your copy of God's Word and open it and read it with me. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually for ever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. As we look at verse 41, there's 5 key words I want us to examine in it. First off, it is mercies. That's the kindness of God in action. When Paul wrote to those in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, he says, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. He is the God of all mercies. The second word I want us to note is me. Let thy mercies come also unto me. That means I'm a recipient. The next one is Lord, L-O-R-D. Now here's something unique. Every letter in that word Lord is capitalized, which means it's actually talking about Yahweh, the God in heaven. If you just see a capital L, lowercase O, lowercase R, lowercase D, it just means Master. But here he's talking about the Lord. And notice, the Lord is what stands between mercies and salvation, because salvation is our fourth word, that is being saved from our sins. And lastly is Word. That's heaven's chosen vehicle for saving our sins. Now, verse 42 says, So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. If I were to couple that in the New Testament, Peter writes in 1 Peter 3:15, But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. Before answering somebody, we first need to have the knowledge. Verse 44, So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. I think about what my great-grandmother wrote in the front of a Bible that she gave me. And you may have this written in your Bible. And I know it was not original, unique to her. But I know she believed it, and I believe it too. And in the front of this Bible that she gave me, and when she passed, I even used that Bible to preach her funeral. It says, This book will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from this book. Oh, how true that is. The Bible keeps us from sinning if we truly believe it and put it in practice. But sin tries to keep us from the Bible. That's Satan's goal every day of the year. He wants us to keep that Bible on the shelf and not open it, not use it, not read it, not apply it, not believe it. I couple this with what John said in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, if you preach or teach, here's your good 3-point mini sermon that I love. There's 3 points in Revelation 1 and verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, number 1, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, number 2, and keep those things which are written therein, number 3, for the time is at hand. So you're blessed if you read, if you hear, and if you keep the things that are written therein. Verse 45, he says back in Psalm 119, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Here he's talking about a harmonious union between law and liberty. We talk about the perfect law of liberty in James chapter 1, verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, verse 26, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, then this man's religion is in vain. Verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Also James 2 and verse 12, so speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Let's look at verse 46. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and I will not be ashamed. I've got a list. If you're taking notes, you may want to jot down these names, or maybe start taking notes on this part. This a list of people that were not afraid to speak before kings in the Bible. I think about Joseph spoke plainly to Pharaoh in Genesis chapter 41. I think about Jacob before the Egyptian king in Genesis 47. Moses and Aaron went before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, in Exodus 5, and they spoke plainly. Samuel spoke before King Saul, had no problem. David spoke in the company of numerous, countless kings. Elijah and Elisha did it. Isaiah did it. Jeremiah did it. Daniel did it. I love what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said in Daniel chapter 3 about verse 16, 17, 18. When their questions say, when King Nebuchadnezzar says, what will your God do? Will he save you from this? And they say, yes, he will, but even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down and obey what you've said. I even think of John the Baptist and Herodias and Herod. Now, he was so careful about speaking, he didn't care to hurt people's feelings, and it ended up costing him his life, but he was rewarded for that. And I think of the Apostle Paul. Numerous times he approached kings, and he spoke very plainly. We're going to pause here, take a quick break. We'll be back with more of Reading the Word.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
And we're back on this side of the break. Thank you, Brother Dearman, for mentioning our services at the Wood Church of Christ. If you've never visited with us, we would be honored to have you. Please come visit with us and tell us that you heard us on the radio. That would just make my day. Just seeing you would make my day. And if you mention that, I would just be over the moon excited. We're continuing Psalm 119. We're ready for verse 47, where the psalmist says, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. When Moses went up on Mount Sinai, about Exodus 20, he received the Ten Commandments. In the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, duo meaning second, onomy means law, so Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. 603 commandments are added to it. So that means there are about 613 commandments of the old law. Now, old law, Colossians 2:14, was nailed to the cross, no longer in effect. We're under the new law, the New Testament, the new and living way, the better way. There's about 2,200 charges. It's 2,200 charges, directives, commandments, rules in the New Testament that are either given by Christ or given by someone that was authorized to speak for him, i.e. an apostle, an inspired Bible writer. For instance, I'm going to show you three verses that contain almost a dozen commands, directives, charges, rules in and of themselves. The first one is Romans chapter 13 and verse 9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So let's see. Commit adultery, 1, kill, 2, steal, 3, bear false witness, 4, covet, 5, love thy neighbor as thyself. There's 6 commands right there in one verse. What about 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14? We already have 6. Watch ye would make 7, stand ye fast in the faith, 8, quit ye like men, 9, be strong, 10, let all your things be done with charity. That's 11. That's as close to a dozen as I can get without making it a dozen. so many ways we've been told, things we've been told to do by God. Verse 47 of Psalm 119, "And I will delight myself in thy commandments." And he says, "I love thy commandments." Verse 48, "My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes." Here the psalmist is talking about bringing sacrifices with his hands. That's what he's talking about. He says, "My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments." We think about laboring. We labor with our hands. We talk about giving tithes. That was a biblical command in the Old Testament to give at least 10%. That's not binding in the New Testament, but if you really read it carefully, and there's a great book by Kyle Budd about giving, and he argues that you should actually give more than 10%, but that's a different lesson for a different day. But you do that with your hands. Also talking about lifting burdens that fall on the sick, fall on the infirmed, fall on the oppressed. Galatians 6 and verse 1, "Brethren, you which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Verse 2, verse 5, "Must bear our own burdens." Verse 7, "Whatever man sows, that will he reap." Verse 8, verse 9, "Be not weary in well-doing." Verse 10, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith." There are a lot of things that we can do with our hands that cause us to be working, worshiping, and praising our God. And he talks about my commandments. Commandments have to be obeyed with our hands, with our feet, with our eyes, with our mouth, with our ears. His all be employed in the execution of his commandments. I think about a song that we sing occasionally at vacation Bible schools, maybe youth events. "Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say, for the Father up above is looking down in love." Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Hands, what you do. Feet, where it goes. Mind, where it thinks. I mean, you could just kind of, that's one of those songs you can use really to kill time. But the thought behind it is still the same. We need to be careful. We need to be using all of our abilities for the service of God. And then notice he says, "I have loved your commandments, and I will meditate in them." He will think about what God has said. He'll be going through, if he were living today, the psalmist, and he'd be going through Romans 13, 1 Corinthians 16, all those short little fragment commands, not fraggle, but fragment commands, and he'd be thinking about them. Think, how can I quit you like men? How can I be strong? How can I watch? How can I stand fast? That's what the psalmist would be doing. And so with that, we conclude our examination of the vow section. And we'll just keep moving right along. I know we're going to have time to at least read the Zane section. We may read it this week and next week as well. But let's go ahead and read Zane. Now, Zane is the seventh letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And it is the letter Z. That's what at least it looks like in our English alphabet. Let's read Zane, verse 49 through 56. "Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and I have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts." If I could sum up verses 49 through 56, the Zane section alone, if I were writing a commentary on this, which I guess I am audibly speaking, I would call this profound respect for God's word. The psalmist continually respects, honors, gives, God the praise in all of these things because he realizes just how beautiful, how impactful, and how much he needs this word in his life on a daily basis. And I hope between now and next week when we can reconvene at this same time, you will make the word of God an important part in your daily life. I'm Justin Reed, the minister for the Wood Church of Christ. This is Reading the Word. Until next time, may the good Lord bless you and keep you.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.